What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What up, what up? It's Charles or Chuck.
And you got Matt or Has coming in here, guys. Tweak Talks. Good to be back, everyone. Sorry I missed last week. I was not feeling very well. And also, we're late this week, so I think we're just kind of all over the place. And Marcus isn't here, which, like, triple sucks. So we're a little bit of a triple threat here, but good to see y'all. Good to see you, Gavin. Good to see you, Charles. What's going on, guys? How you doing, Charles?
I'm doing good. We had a lot of cool Smash to watch. I mean, Kagaribi is still pretty crazy to think about just in general. And then, yeah, just pretty much chilling, going through the motions. What about you, Big Gav?
Doing all right. Been streaming a lot, preparing for Gommel and all that stuff. Doing pretty good.
Has he?
Hell yeah. Well, it's been a few weeks since I've been here.
Feeling better at least?
So much better, dude. It was awful. I got one of those spring colds or whatever, and it was just terrible. I'm such a baby when I get sick too. I don't know what it is, but I just can't. It's very minor inconveniences, and I just can't handle it. I don't know, dude. It is what it is, but I'm good now. I've been playing a lot of Pokerogue, and I'm trying to get both of you to play it, and neither of you are biting for some reason. That shit is incredible, by the way. I'm just saying, you play it once, it's over. It's just over, dude. It is so fucking fun. But either way, yeah, everything's been good. Like you said, Charles, great Smash to watch this weekend. Had a really good time doing that. Celtics are doing well in the playoffs. That's a W, and the Yankees are one of the best teams in baseball right now. I'm doing pretty damn well, actually, when everything, when you put it that way, Charles. Thanks for asking.
Has is up right now.
Which is, dude, I hate to say it because the second you're riding high, that's when you're ready to crash. You know what I'm saying?
Get ready for the drop. It's coming. It's like a roller coaster. Get ready.
We had a good time. I had a good time watching Low Tide City, the last of its kind, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was the last Low Tide City that's going to be happening ever, if I'm not mistaken. And then
I rebrand, to my knowledge, I think. Because there's so many tournaments called LTC,
That's right. And they're all cities, right? That's usually the C is always a city. Low tier right. City, low tide city. Come on. Why not county or country? Come on. Low tide country.
Right.
Town? No, because then it's not the C anymore, Charles. Low town city. Is that what you meant? So Low Tide City was great, and we're gonna talk about that bracket a little bit. Some of my goats came out of the works there, which is super cool. And then Gommel is this weekend, and Gommel, I always say it, is one of my favorite tournaments every year. I haven't been in a little while, mostly because it is the same weekend as my wedding, or it was until now. So now I might be starting to think about going again, but I love Gommel. Max and Joe put on an amazing, amazing show every year. This year it is super stacked, so we'll be going through that bracket a little bit. And then I also want to talk about Momo, because the three of us will be at MomoCon, and I feel like it's been a while since the three of us have been at a tournament together. I feel like it's been a mix and match of two of us, but never three all at once. So yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to the rest of this month in Smash and in sports and everything else. This is like the perfect time of year for this is baseball's under full swing. Basketball's got the playoffs going on. The NFL draft just happened and Smash is really starting to pick up. I'm consuming, man. I'm in full consumer mode. I love it. I'm having a great time, bro. I really am. And Pokerogue exists. And none of my friends are playing it with me, and I can't fucking believe it. You guys are crazy.
I watch other people play it.
You watch Void play it, and then he flaunts his shinies in front of me. He's such an asshole. Yeah.
I've watched you play it in the Discord too. I love watching my friends play it. So
it's like Gavin. You guys know Tweak, he's a huge shiny hunter, and in Pokerogue, shinies exist, obviously, but then there's levels of shiny. So it's not just shiny, it's there's shiny regular, and then a blue shiny and an epic shiny, And they actually help you in the game. It's actually better to have shinies. Shiny hunting in that game is crack, dude. It's
so much to do in actual Pokemon games.
This is it. This is officially Pokemon now. Everything else is over.
Pokemon is peaked. Pokemon's officially peaked.
Honestly, dude, if they don't steal this idea, they're snoozing. I'm all the way back into Pokemon from Pokerogue, which is great. Either way. Low Tide City.
Before we get into those topics, make sure if you guys do enjoy the content, want to support us, want to help us grow, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Let us know. What's a good comment question? I didn't think about this. All right, let us know what your favorite set was from Low Tide City, because there was a lot of banger sets. I mean, Jordan Chase was crazy, right? There was
giveaway the answers, Charles. That's clearly it.
That one was crazy. That was a crazy set. But there was a bunch of other bangers. But let us know in the comments what your favorite set of Low Tide City was. And of course, if you guys want to support us even more, you can go ahead and support our Patreon. We create bonus content weekly for you guys to consume. And this week's bonus content will be about Japan as a region. We're going to be talking about, you know, why there seems to be such a huge gap when it comes to rankings. And yeah, I think it's an interesting topic. I think especially after Kagaribi, you know, I think everyone outside of Japan, there was a bunch of these crazy threats, especially when we think back to Kagaribi 10. But at Kagaribi 12, those same threats showed up, and even some new ones as well. And Japan seemed to totally dominate that bracket. So, yeah, I think there seems to be a gap, and there definitely is going to be a gap in terms of rankings as well. I'm kind of sad that Sonics wasn't able to go. I think Sonics is another obvious like huge threat for Japan in NA because he has such a good set record against Akola and Mia. But we'll get more into that in the bonus content, and we'll get right into the topics for this week, which Low Tide City, man.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I actually restreamed all of top 8 on Twitch.
I saw that, Gavin. I was like, wow, Gavin's restreaming the tournament.
He's a streamer. What the heck?
Wow, streaming.
I don't even know this guy.
Dang.
You need to like Subway Surfer it and have your shiny hunting on like the next screen. Do you do that? Like, do you do picture in picture?
I haven't, but I could definitely see myself doing that for sure.
Anyway, what'd you think?
But, yeah, I thought it was great. People were asking me who I thought was going to win, but I don't think that was an easy prediction this time around. The Bud ended up taking it. I think the grand finals was like, especially towards the end there, was like extremely intense. Two Bayos in top 8, and she seems to be a topic, like whether you like it or not. Like,
well, we don't talk about Bayo today. That's
pretty sure. Often.
Once like, again,
just can't get away from talking about that character. And DaBuzz taking it down was, I just think the coolest thing about DaBuzz winning it, like any type of tournament, is that he's just playing his favorite characters, like.
And his pop-offs. Another great DaBuzz pop-off for the books.
Shout out, 10 out of 10.
Shout out to the mics for picking that shit up. That was amazing. I love that. Anyway.
Yeah, it was really intense. Shuffling through the Rosa and Olimar as always, and just becoming more and more of a Rosa specialist specifically. Like, there's some tournaments where he just plays like mostly Rosa. So, but yeah, Lima and Geist playing Bayo, Mudace in there like always. I guess Shattuck having a bit of an underperformance was a big topic of this one. Teaser getting the upset to get into winter semifinals. I thought it was a pretty exciting top 8.
Teaser as well, beating Chase in winners. And I feel like it's been a while since we've seen Teaser, and the casters were saying that he like soft retired for a little bit. I definitely haven't seen Teaser play in a while, but that Samus is still super nice. 3-0 over Chase and winners, and then beating Shattuck. That last, I don't know if you guys watched this set. I watched it live, but that game 5.
Very cool.
I thought, my God. When Corrin's like floating in that distance between like jumping where pin can hit, and if Samus throws out a projectile, you're dead. I feel like that situation was happening so much, specifically in that set, in that game 5. And I was just like, every time anything happened, I'm like, oh my God, like either of these players can win or lose. So shout out to Teaser for winning the tournament. I'm a Teaser fan. Happy to see him come back in a big way. And I was saying this before we went live, but I think definitely one of, and you said it too, Gavin, but one of the main stories coming out of this, of Low Tide City, is talking about who was going to win the bracket. I think we all would have picked Shattuck if we were, you know, hey, who do you think is going to win Low Tide City, looking at it before the tournament happened? We'd all pick Shattuck, right? The kid has been on fire. Consistent, like not losing to people outside of his realm of ranking, right? Climbing to top 5 NA potentially, if not higher, shit like that. And never, obviously, I'm a Shattuck fan, I'm a Daddick fan, the whole fam, right? They're all great. Don't want to see him lose, but I am excited that he now has an opportunity to bounce back after a couple of tough losses, right? Geist, great player, tough matchup for Corrin and Shattuck specifically. I think Shattuck is like 14-4 or something against Lima. Like it's like a really tough, or sorry, other way around, 4-14. So four wins total lifetime. Did get the win at Collision, which I think was a game 5-2, super tight. So obviously Shattuck knows the matchup well. So shout out to Geist for winning that. Geist, very, very, very talented player. Good set against Atata too, who also had a pretty good tournament, 9th place. Like, yeah, that's the thing I like about tournaments like this, like LTC. Like, it gives the spotlights to players that we don't get to see super often, get further in those brackets too, which is because Atata's great, Geist is great, Kobe got 9th place. Like, it was just, it was really, really good runs from a lot of really great players. So in a way, like, this tournament didn't have, like, you know, A tier or S tier star power. It had close to it, obviously. There were a lot of like home names in the mix, but like not as many as you would see at like a conventional major. And I kind of love that. Like, I had so much fun watching all these players play really good, really, really good ultimate and do really well. And that's what happens in these brackets. You get someone like Tzu who steps up and has a really good weekend and takes out two of the biggest threats to the top 8 or to even win the tournament in Shattuck. So I'm back to my thoughts on Shattuck. I'm very excited to see what he does in the bounce back, because he has been kind of what I said before the podcast started. I didn't mean it, but like upwards trends all the way. Eventually you got to go down just a little bit, but I'm excited to see what Shattuck's made of, because I'm pretty sure he's going to bounce back in a really strong way. I still have a lot of faith in the kid. He just ran into two really, really good players and two tough matchups for his character and lost in tight sets. It is what it is. It's bound to happen if you're a top player in ultimate. In a way, I was like, he's truly like a top 5 threat now, because like now he's had like a tough performance in ultimate, which is going to happen, the game of ultimate inconsistencies that he's going to need to bounce back from. So I'm excited to see what he does with it, is the main thought I had after watching him lose.
My thoughts on it, I was actually really impressed. From my viewer perspective, it looked like Shattuck was very calm and collected regardless of like the pressure and the close losses and like performing below his seed or whatever like that. I thought he looked very composed, and I think that's very admirable and a very good sign for the future. So I think what everything you said is fantastic, Kaz. I would just add that point to it. So I thought that was just, you know, a good sign that this slump is most likely not going to last very long.
It's crazy, yeah, that he got two bad losses. We call it a slump. That's just how, like, a tribute to how consistent he's been. Like, how good he has been since January, basically, if not a little bit earlier than that. So, it's crazy.
Yeah, because the thing that amazes me about Shattuck's, like, upward trend is how steep the upward trend was. Because we would see Shattuck, you know, get 9th, get 7th in that area, right? And then there was a phase where he was constantly getting into these top 8s via like 7th place. And then all of a sudden, just like a crazy spike upwards to the point where you're getting wins on Mia, Sonic, stuff like that, right? Like really, really essentially top 4 players, top 2 players in the world, right? And even taking some tournaments over them. So the spike, it's crazy to me, because I was like, okay, 9th to 7th, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, whoa, you're getting into like these top 4s, top 3s, getting these huge wins on these really, really high ranked players. So after that crazy trajectory upward, and even to the point where Light has even said that he thinks that Shattuck is the best player in the US, which is a crazy jump. And I mean, he said that like 1 or 2 weeks ago. But in terms of how long Shattuck has been consistent, I'm not too surprised. I think it's still a debatable topic. I think it's pretty close. I think the top 3 in the US are Tweak, Light, and Shattuck in no specific order. But you can kind of juggle those 3 around, right? And just kind of depends on when in the timeline you're looking. So it's an interesting topic, and we'll see. And I think for this tournament, Shattuck was first seed. I wouldn't be surprised if he was first seed. So now Shattuck's in the spot of, you know, like Kaz was saying, he was the underdog before coming up and like turning a lot of heads, getting a lot of results. Like, whoa, man, Shattuck got the win on this player or this player, right? But now Shattuck is on the other side where it's like, oh, well, Shattuck should win this. And I think that's right. A very different mentality. And I'd love to hear Gavin's thought about that, because, I mean, what was the difference when you were coming up in Smash 4 and the feeling of being the underdog and getting the win, and then when you're like solidified as an upper echelon player, is there a shift? Is there a jump? Does it not really matter to you? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, when I was younger and I was like starting to go to a lot of tournaments and getting better really quickly and like starting to get ranked high and like all that stuff, getting some good wins, like 9 times out of 10, when those like type of things would happen. Like people would be excited for it because it was new. Like, oh, you beat this veteran player. Like that's exciting. But like after a year or two, like it reverses a little bit where they would rather see you lose. So as a young person at the time, that was a hard switch for me, was like, oh damn, like it didn't even have to be in region a lot of the time. If I just traveled somewhere, they most likely wanted me to win most of the sets just because I was like the new player on the block. But like, you know, it kind of shifts really quickly. And that was like tough to, I feel like that's tough for anyone. So that was probably the hardest part for me, especially because when I started, I was using like a low tier character. And when I would win, I'd get like the double excitement. Like one, a low tier character is winning. Two, a new player is winning. All that stuff. And so I was so used to like always being the person to cheer for that anytime I wasn't the person to cheer for, it was very upsetting. And I think that was the hardest thing for me, personally.
So it's almost kind of like you got booted off the hype train. So like you're starting your journey. Like, wait, everyone's on the hype train. Get on.
Old news, baby.
Yeah. And then I wasn't done with this. Like this was cool. Yeah. I wasn't done. What the heck?
I'm still cool. Nah, get off the hype train. We've seen enough, pal. That's all good.
So, I mean, to this day, like obviously everyone would rather be cheered for than not. So that was the hardest thing for me, especially because when I was younger, that's like all I wanted was like the approval of everyone. So, I think that's tough. I can't speak for anyone else's experience, but that's the first thing that comes to mind when you ask that question.
It's funny you say that, because I think, you know, bringing it back to LTC, the winner DeBuzz has had such an interesting roller coaster with that. Like, I don't think, do Ultimate people know that DeBuzz was like hated at one point in Smash 4? Like everyone just hated DeBuzz. Like, and it wasn't like a joke. It was like, this guy sucks. Like it was crazy.
More times than not. Like, even if you consider all of the time where he's like a fan favorite or cheered for or whatever you want to call it, he still spent more of his Smash career being cheered against.
Yes. And yeah,
he never got on the hype train. No, the buzz is a late bloomer.
That's
the
not
buzz
true.
Is now on the hype train.
He did like the impossible where he started off where people were like, we don't like the way you play, to full circle where it's like, dude, we love the buzz. Like the buzz is our guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now, especially at Ultimate, now that his characters aren't great and he hasn't like sold out and gone to, you know, everyone says you should play Min, you should do this, and he hasn't. It's like he plays it's hype. Kind of because he's playing a soul mains, you know what I mean? Like, that's a part of it. And also, they aren't common and they aren't top tier. Like, they're fine. They're fine characters, but especially Olimar has got it gutted in this game. So
they're nowhere near Min. Let's just put it that way. All right. You can have your hot takes on Olimar and Rosalina, but nowhere near the brokenness of Min.
Absolutely. And shout outs to DeBuzz for branding himself well and putting his personality out there and really kind of like embracing who he is and being more like outgoing with it. And really, like, I think that was a big part of how he won people back over. You know what I mean? And to your credit too, Gavin, I mean, DeBuzz's results have not been super great or consistent recently. So it's really, like you said, it's always exciting when someone who hasn't been there as consistently or as recently comes back up. You know, everyone loves a comeback story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was excited to see DeBuzz win it, mostly because we always get one of those patented pop-offs, which, again, shout-outs to the live mic that was happening during that tournament. What a W that was, bro.
We heard everything DeBuzz.
It didn't sound like him.
Since I was restreaming it, it was like I had predictions from the Twitch chat, and I actually had a lot of viewers thinking DeBuzz was going to win by the time Top 8 rolled around, and it did happen. So shout-outs to them, and also it's pretty rare for a tournament for someone to expect DeBuzz to come out on top. Usually that would be a little bit more of a surprise, or like a couple things would have to line up. So I think that's a good boost for DeBuzz, not only like statistically and ranking wise, but also just confidence, I think. Because DeBuzz has definitely been on the receiving end of close losses and all that stuff. So, and like, he's definitely gone through some like mental slumps as someone that's like been at, you know, all the tournaments he's always at and stuff. Like, he's definitely been more prone to getting frustrated over the last year or two than usual. So I think this is a nice little boost for him. And I think to the point where I think a lot of people were noticing his frustration. So I think this is definitely really good for DeBuzz to, when it comes to like going into some future big tournaments.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I love the balance and the switch between just like Olimar and Rosa. So we saw a lot more Olimar and winners, and then Rosa to close out Grands. So that was cool to see. I mean, again, DeBuzz just switching in between the two characters that he really likes to play, even though they're not the strongest. I personally would like to see DeBuzz put more time into Min Min, but I'm just saying that in the sheer aspect of I want NA players to be as strong as possible. And DeBuzz used to always play the best defensive characters in the game. And even when we think back on when he wasn't, you know, so liked by the community, you get like flamed a lot or, you know, cheered against or whatnot, right? That was pre-Bayo in Smash 4 when he played Rosa, which was the best defensive character in the game, most would argue, right? I mean, you could play Sheik. There was like the toolbox top tiers like Sheik and Diddy that you could play defensive, but Rosa was like the defense character, right? You just jab. Sonic as well. Sonic, yeah, that's another one. But especially pre-Bayo, we didn't see too much success.
It was the DeBuzz's best pick for like how he's played the game.
Right, for how he plays the game, yeah. And then like obviously Olimar in Brawl, you know, really good defensive character as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think Min Min is that pick for him on paper, but maybe just doesn't click. Maybe he just wants to play with these other characters. Maybe he just clicks more with Rosa and Olimar. And I mean, Ultimate is a game where you don't necessarily have to pick, you know, a top 10 character to find success, right? You can find success. Will it be a little bit harder? Will it be a lot more rough? Yes. Right. But Ultimate compared to all the other Smash games, you can definitely have a little bit more wiggle room in your character picks for sure of all the Smash games.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good bracket, man. I had a lot of fun. Lima was playing on fire as well, by the way. Like just some really, really good Bayo play in Ultimate. Like you said, two Bayos in top 8. Plus, I think Deathspade also made like a top 32-ish area, so it was a character, man. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, she has so much going for her. Recovery, disadvantage, all that stuff is so good. And then obviously they're pushing that advantage state off stage specifically. Like, it's just incredible what they do, except for when they SD, obviously. But it just comes with the territory.
I think a value to have as a character in Ultimate is if you can just play the game like on your own. Like, for example, like Bayo's just like moving around the screen, and while she's moving and pressing buttons, if it connects, she gets her combo, and if it doesn't, she's gonna keep doing her thing anyway. She's kind of like, you know, the whole like fighting yourself type of thing. You're kind of just fighting the air and moving around and like playing defensive or whatever, and if that stray hit connects, you like go into your advantage state. If you can comfortably do that against a lot of the cast, that is a very good sign, I think. Like, you know, the easiest example that most people notice is like Roy, the whole like fighting ghosts meme. Like, that's something that I think every character wants to do if they could. It's just like fight the air, and if you happen to hit them while doing that, and you can convert into your, like, Mithra does this all the time, like that kind of thing, where it's like, oh, the stray hit connected while I was kind of just like spacing and moving around. All right, full combo. Like, Bayo can do that in her own way, which is very, very valuable. And I that's just the point I wanted to get across today.
Yeah.
I'm just swinging at the open air, bro.
She plays her game. And I also think she's one of those characters that falls in the category where it's hard for you to play your game against her, specifically not just because of the frame one out.
She's just not there.
Whichever Bayo it was, getting ledge trapped in the corner, right? Opponent gives them space for whichever tool it is, Palu down tilt, whatever, give them a little space. Bayo neutral gets up or jumps and air dodges down, waits. When the fuck is ABK coming, right? Like, that's the game. How do you get out of the corner? Zoom. Like, you just have that tool. Oh, it's so good. And if she hits you with it, oh, now you're getting edge guarded. It's so good, dude. It's crazy. Yeah. It made me want to play her like a little bit more, because it reminded me in Street Fighter VI, you know, Ken has his Dragon Lash where you could switch corners or switch sides. That's what it reminded me of, where it's like, oh, I got you in the corner. Nope, I converted. Now you're in the corner. See you later. Like, good luck. Like, god damn, it's so good, dude. And just that they have to respect that burst option. Like, you just have to. It goes such a such a good distance in such a short amount of time, right? Like, it just flies right over. It's
crazy. I started doing the side switch, like double banana off of ledge with Diddy. It changed everything. Not only is it a way to get kills, but like when you're ledge trapping someone and like you have to consider getting like side switched like that, it's like very,
just the threat of it changes.
It changes how you're going to position and ledge trap, and like, yep, you know, you might shield a lot when they're on the ledge, like all that type of stuff. So, and then I start monkey flipping, but that's for another day. So
right,
That's
why all the old good fighting games used to give you 2,000 points reversal. You know, like it's a big deal. Like I don't think enough people think about that. Maybe because it's not like called out in Smash in that way. But I was just like, what a great fucking tool to have as a character, man. Like it's not just your disadvantage tool, but hey, I hit you with it and eat shit, basically.
Well, now you're gonna take 50. Some of those sets from the Baos in top 8. There's also moments where they get off the ledge and they're cornered and they sit there for a significant amount of time because the player's so prepared for ABK that the Bao can just inch their way out of the corner pretty safely without having to use ABK at all. So that's the true advantage of having a tool like that, is that you don't need to use it to get out of disadvantage. And that's where Smash truly starts getting played. And I've done like hundreds of like Metafy lessons, and it just reminds me of like how much I talk about the corner, and like it's one of the scariest signs of like a good player, I think, is if they're like willing to sit in the corner for a significant amount of time. Like if someone's comfortable in the corner, I feel like you should be concerned that they're probably pretty damn good. Like they have something cooking where if you overcommit and mess up and you like approach them in the corner and like do something, they might just kill you for it or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a big skill to have. It's like really important discipline, I guess. And a lot of top players will show it. Another technique that's like kind of similar in terms of the vibe of it is when like you're shield to shield with someone, like let's say both characters' backs are to each other and you're shielding, and one player does drop shield, turnaround shield, or drop shield, turnaround grab. Like that's like, oh snap, this person is playing Smash.
He's conscious.
Like, dude, this person is thinking, and they're thinking smartly.
You know what that reminds me of is how, and I know you guys probably talked about it last week when I was in here, but how Spargo lost to the Japanese DK player because he preemptively had turned around before to get that grab in that position. Yeah. It's just like, that is like true. You are thinking several steps ahead type shit, and you're not just mashing your good buttons. Like that is, and when you see someone who plays like specifically like DK, but also like a lifestyle character that is fucking thinking too, it's like, oh no, like this is such a dangerous combination, dude.
The best part, dude.
Yes, that's just crazy. Out, right?
I play DK, but I'm good at the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-oh. Oh shit.
That's just mind blowing. When you play against a DK and they know what they're doing, or any like whatever name whichever type character fits in there, it's like, oh fuck, like now I got it, now I have to be scared, right? And then there's the fear factor that plays into it, so it's not just they're good, now I'm scared, now there's mental warfare going on too, because I don't want to get fucking, this guy's grabbed me 8 times, he's gonna do it again, then he just upbees you and kills you.
Right, I'm gonna shield in the middle of the stage, this DK is just gonna dash attack my shield. Wait, why hasn't the dash attack happened? What? Or oh, playing against a Wario player and they have WAP, but they're good.
Uh-oh.
Right there.
They just beat you without using the WAP because you're so scared of the WAP.
Another thing that's crazy about Bao is just her disadvantage. I think when I watch like Tama P versus Mia and I see Mia having to not bacon at ledge, or there's just like clear counterplay and Tama P's like getting back on a stage because like, all right, you're going to autopilot bacon sick. Like I'm just going to drop witch twist, clank the bacon. From there, I can double jump ABK or maybe just like ABK right off the rip. The fact that ABK crosses up shield and has practically no startup, like very low startup. And if you think if there's any Smash 4 vets listening, it's very similar to Fox Illusion from ledge, right? It's a special move that has a ton of mobility, not too much startup, crosses up shield so you can punish defensive play at shield, like shield at ledge with a positioning reversal, right? Things like that are so powerful. just like ledge drop witch twist to clank out things like bacon or item ledge trapping. Item ledge trapping with items is a very big deal nowadays, right? Unless obviously there's some transcendent items like banana, but still things like turnip or rob gyro or, you know, Game & Watch neutral B, when you can clank out these things from ledge and then have the threat of ABK, which is also a combo starter, that is such a big deal. You also have bats for juggles. You have bats for like just having a frame one out in general. This character has, it's such a well-rounded toolbox character. And I think it took a while for the Bayo community or the Bayo players to learn this character, because whenever you have a toolbox character, your options are so wide and it's just so much harder to play these toolbox characters rather than a character that's a little bit more, I'll say streamlined, right? Like Game Watch. Okay, Nair, back air, bacon at ledge. Like all of your strategies are very strong 80 to 90% of the time if you do X flowchart, right? But these toolbox characters like Wolf, like your Diddy's, like your Bayonetta's, right? They have a lot of different options in a lot of different scenarios, right? And I'll even throw Fox in the streamline category where it's like, okay, get him on platform. Like realistically, what do you want as Fox? It's just up air. And that's a big reason why I stopped playing Wolf and I started playing Fox, because even though back then I thought Wolf was a better character, I was like, man, I have to know so many different scenarios and what moves to use in all these different scenarios. Fox is kind of like, all right, well, hit Nair, hit up air, cool. If I hit these moves, I win, right? So yeah, I think Bayonetta has a very large toolbox and we're seeing so many different things like her disadvantage coming into play, her advantage state off stage, right? And usually characters with really good offstage games are also really hard to edge guard. So there's also that benefit too. All right, Gavin, when are you going to play Bayo, bro? You've been avoiding this way too long.
I was getting
that messing around with the Ridley, like ever, like go back. Your time.
I've been solo Diddy the last few like practice sessions.
Nice.
Well, because everyone, hey man, everyone's going back to their Smash 4 characters. Sometimes, you know,
Cloud and Bayo.
I played a little Diddy in Smash 4.
Played a little Bowser Jr.
No,
but
not that character.
Final thing on LTC / Bayo before we talk a little bit about Gommel coming up. Is I think the hardest thing for Bayo when it comes to figuring out how to play the game is it kind of goes back to what I was talking about how she plays neutral, how she's kind of just flying around and like fighting the air, quote unquote. Because it's way easier to do that, despite how like patient you have to be and how like you just have to be disciplined and wait for your opportunity. I feel like in the current state of Ultimate, you can't just like get a down tilt, or you can't just like you don't combo off grab. Like, so you're going to have to rely on just playing defensively, maybe getting an up B out of shield, hopefully catching a jump with an ABK. If you get a forward air 1-2-3 at the right height, that's pretty solid. Like, you can't easily just open up your opponent. Her ground game isn't as strong without perfect pivot in Smash 4. Like, it is so hard to just land down tilt, I think, in Ultimate, especially versus some of the best characters. I'm thinking, like, Game & Watch. I'm thinking Sonic. I'm thinking Steve. And honestly, just most characters in general won't let you just land some of those moves for free. So it's pretty interesting that a lot of her openings just straight up start with a special because she's flying around the screen in hopes it hits.
Which was out of shield, also very solid. So yeah. Your shield's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's, you kind of have to play it a little differently in Smash 4. You can't just, you know, you don't really win neutral.
Oh, she's super different from Smash 4, but yeah. I think you could figure it out.
Like, oh, I'm not saying this is why I don't play. I'm just saying this is, like, why I think it might have took long for it to, like, kind of.
Oh, I see, like, the progress. I see.
It might have been so difficult for it to settle because, I don't know. It doesn't feel like she wins neutral. It feels like she's just really trying to get you to overextend and maybe just kind of just catch an ABK, get an up B out of shield. Like, it's not as much like, you know, like I said, like even landing that up tilt backer for the kill is not easy, but it's easier than landing a down tilt, to be honest. With how like people just move around in Ultimate, so I don't know. It feels like it's not fully complete thought, but that's just a difference in my head. Like especially with perfect pivot and how like held neutral air worked in Smash 4. You can perfect pivot down tilt. You can do full hop neutral air and just hold it. And if you get a hit, you just go into a full combo. But now it has like end lag when it hits the ground. You can just get grab combos in Smash 4. Like the way you played neutral was a lot more grounded. When the things you used when you won neutral was way easier to like to not start a combo off with a special.
Right. And then heel slide, crossing up shield. Like you could take bigger risk in Smash 4 because heel slide, cross up shield, fair one shield pressure. I think in Smash 4, Bayo could be the one that throws out a wide variety of aggressive options that were fairly safe. Where I think in Ultimate that is not really the case, which is why we have to see Bayo play more defensive. And like you're really, your only really burst option that your opponent's like looking out for is jump ABK, right? That's like your committal option that you can get something out of. And you're playing your neutral around the fact that your opponent is respecting that option. And you're kind of like playing this tug of war back and forth of like, when am I going to do the ABK? And when are you going to try to like extend out to overshoot me? And then maybe I can catch you something along those lines.
And now too, what you see from a lot of Bayos is they go for the ABK or they go for the witch twist and they whiff. And so to bypass the time that the recovery frames on the special moves, they go to ledge, you know, which is saying a lot because you'd rather go to ledge than be full of lag and landing on the stage, you know what I mean? And then she's like, I think that's why they got so comfortable in the corner too, partially because her kit allows for it, but also it's a part of her game plan because if you whiff ABK, you don't want to be going back at them because if you whiff another special, she's a light character still, she does die early. Plus, I think a lot of what you guys are saying is tied to her risk reward in Smash 4 was so fucking stupid. It was so good. Witch time was way better. Opponents need to watch out for it. If you legitimately you get witch time at zero, you're probably dead against a good Bayo. Like, probably, if not really close to dead. Or taking a ton of damage. So I think her risk reward was just, and to what Charles was saying too, her risk was lower too because of things like fair one bouncing off of shield into option right afterwards. Another fair could happen or fastball grab, you know, like so many other things. She was really fucking fun in Smash 4. Very, very broken, but very fun. But like you guys said, it's the adjustments of how she changed between the two games. Plus, she's not as strong as she was in Smash 4. That risk reward definitely is a huge factor. So she's a fun character. Like, she's really interesting, I think, in Ultimate. I think she's had a really good redemption arc overall as a character that people, obviously, in Smash 4, by the end of Smash 4, everyone was sick of her shit. But now it's like, you know what? Pretty cool with Bayo now, actually. It's fine.
I think she's one of the most funnest characters to watch. Though.
Yeah, I see a lot of people not a fan of Bayo still.
But the really? That is insane.
Yeah. There is a bit of a compromise she had to make in Ultimate. So in Smash 4, like Has just said, you had the forward air one bounce on shield. And if ABK hit a shield, you would still get access to a second ABK. Oh, so yeah. So that Ultimate playstyle, if she had all of those things, would be even better. But something that's nice is ABK with a jump and directional air dodge is surprisingly good enough in Ultimate to be fine. And they've gotten really creative. So they have jump air dodge and they have been getting really good with footstool too, especially Lima. So it's surprisingly fine. Whereas at the start of Ultimate, that situation would feel really, really gross as a Bayo player. If you like ABK to shield and you're trying to escape, I think at the beginning of Ultimate, it felt like ABK was harder to just like just throw out whenever because it felt easier for them to chase you. Surprisingly, it's good enough, which is it's kind of like a it's a patched up thing that so she's gonna do what she was doing in Smash 4 regardless, basically.
Yeah, like I still can't believe there's people that hate Bayo in Ultimate. Every time I've played against Bayo, there's never been a point where I lose and been like, that was bullshit. Like every time I lose to a Bayo in Ultimate, it's like, okay, you got it. I just don't see any room to complain. And maybe that's just because I've gone through the bullshit that is Smash 4. Because I'll tell you right now, 90% of the time I lost to Bayo in Smash 4, I was like, you're trash. Like you're not. So that's a very, yes, has included. And so
1-0, baby.
Oh my God. I don't want to talk about the dare.
About the charity event. Oh my God. And then have we told that story on this podcast? It's very funny.
It is very funny. You can. I'm pretty sure we have, but I mean, there's
maybe another maybe on the Patreon or something. I don't think it fits today, but remind us one day, chat. We need to tell that story if we haven't already. But it's very the
first time
funny.
Ian has
before we knew each other.
That was the first time we ever interacted because then we commentated at Genesis, one of the Genesises, right after that set. But I mean, Bale. I think Bale's here to stay. I think we're seeing Bale played in many different countries, in many different parts of the world, and even in different levels. Like, I think there's the three top Bales, obviously, but I think the other Bales that are on the come up as well are starting to make big upsets, like Gaston Shattuck. Obviously, that's still a good matchup and stuff, but there's a like Frog in Vegas. There's like a bunch of Bales on the come up that have been playing this character for a while, and they're starting to get better results too. I think this character is scaling really well. And just a greedy request, I'd love to see Gavin play Bale. I think that'd be sick. But I know that would be, I feel like it, I don't know if you would want to dive into it because I don't know how hard it is for you to like separate the Smash 4 part of your brain to the ultimate part. I know you said like that's one of the things that's hard for you to when you play Cloud because there's like really big aspects of Cloud in Smash 4 that didn't carry over to ultimate, like the grab probably being the biggest one. But yeah, I mean, it would be cool to see your, I think high mobility characters, you get to see a wider range of skill expression and creativity. So like watching like Tweak play a high mobility character, watching someone like Void play a high mobility character, you get to see very creative things happen. And I think that for me, that's why I love watching Smash so much. When you get to see creative players be very expressive on high mobility characters, you can really see how crazy this game is.
I think the cherry on top is that Bayo as a character is probably, like, from all the players I see play against Bayo, she's probably one of the characters people are the worst at playing against.
Like, you had this opinion since Smash 4.
It's not even just that. I think, like, most players are pretty bad at fighting her.
And we're seeing some crouches and stuff like
I feel like I don't usually say, like, simple, dumb stuff like that. Like, I usually don't say, oh, you suck versus X character. But this is the one time I'll allow it for myself where I actually do think most people are pretty bad against Bayo. And I've lost to Bayo in Ultimate once before. So, like, maybe this is me included. But I just think people are pretty bad against her. Like, just as a collective.
Dang. Projecting.
I'm just going to say it.
Are you going to say any particular things or are you going to keep that under wraps for now?
I mean, there's the obvious stuff, right? Like, they're always jumping into ABK, like, getting witch timed in, like, spots where, like, you can literally just wait for, like, for her to hit the ground. Like, there's, like, some really obvious stuff, but if we were watching something, I would explain it. A lot of it is, like, the pacing and cadence of the match.
Oh, I see.
But, yeah, just, I don't know, like, even some of the best players in the world are genuinely, it's very surprising how uncomfortable they are versus Bayo.
Can you explain the self-censor that you had right there where you said, I usually don't say stuff like this? What was that? What the heck?
I don't know what
you're turning over a new leaf?
I don't know why I thought I was like on ESPN or something. Like,
I think they say shit on ESPN at this point. They're damn gambling all over that fucking point. They might as well. Holy shit. Before we change gears here real quick and talk about Gommel this weekend, which I'm excited for, we always end up talking about Bayo. It's like a bi-monthly topic that we have here. Like Charles said, gonna stay. Four Bayos in top 32, Shadow PR, Geist making top 8, Death Spade, and also obviously Lima making top 8.
Yeah, Shadow PR had a really crazy run at the very, I think, Genesis 6 with Bayo, which was crazy. Like way, way back in the day. So Bayo has had some like results here and
there.
Been
around, yeah.
And congrats to the Buzz, because the comments are gonna be like, wow, no one's talking about the Buzz's win. All right, there you go. Shouts to the Buzz.
W the Buzz. Good shit.
Everyone in the comments, right? W the Buzz. There you go. That's how we
W the Buzz. And if you want Gavin to play Bayo, say it in the comments. Demand
it. It's not gonna happen.
Tight game 5 against Peepnut for real with the Buzz. Very, very tight
Peep
game 5
also,
against Peep.
Yeah,
Peep almost reversed. Really it was almost reversed 3-0, right?
One of the goats, bro.
It was almost reversed 3-0 by Peep, right? If I remember correctly. I think the Buzz was up 2-0. Beating Wilds as well. And Lima, obviously, I think were the biggest wins that the Buzz had there. Oh, and Mute, too, actually. Dang, I forgot that he beat Mute as well. So good stuff, the Buzz. Always like to see the Buzz do well. And before we switch gears off, I do want to say shout outs to Jordan, one of the most entertaining players that I watched this weekend. Gavin, I know you're a huge fan of his character lineup. It's like very up your alley with Banjo, DK, and Wario, right?
Yeah, those were a few of the characters that were there. So, I mean, that I don't think it gets any cooler than that. Like, damn.
A nice win over Chase to make it into top eight. Very good. A fun set against Mudace where he basically just rolled random characters while going DK after getting smoke game one. Just so, like, I liked watching Jordan play because he was like having fun with it, which I think is something that's a little lost on Ultimate right now because everyone's so focused on the W and winning. And obviously we talk about that a lot. So I was just happy to see someone playing well and having fun with it and also winning a really tight game five against a good player. So Jordan was a great presence at that tournament is what I'll say. A great personality and a great influence on the bracket that didn't win the tournament or anything. But to me, that's something I'll remember about this tournament. So shout out to Jordan for keeping it rolling after his beef with all of France and maybe all of Europe and maybe even more. So shit was funny. Anyway, that was so fun because Twitch chat would be like, wait, is this the guy who beefed with that with Netaru? Wait, this guy hates that Pichu player. Like, every once in a while, someone would just, like, remember what had happened. It's so funny. So, either way, great tournament. I had a lot of fun watching it. It was one of the first weekends in a while where I was just able to sit down and chill and watch Smash just because I've been so busy and stuff. So, I was really happy to see a lot of these players turn up and do well. So, that being said, also looking forward to Gommel this weekend. We can wrap it up and talk about Gommel. Again, one of my favorite tournament experiences of all time. I haven't been in a few years, but I love watching at home. I love being there even more if you're going to go. I know you are, Gavin. So why don't you tell the people about your prep for Gommel, how you're feeling about it, about your bracket. What do you want to tell the people on your own podcast?
I'm just trying to stay productive leading into it. I haven't super looked at my projected bracket, but I'll be sure to do that. And I've just been practicing a bunch of Diddy. I feel a bit more prepared to play the game than I have been the last couple tournaments. It felt like I was kind of half-assing it slash not sure what my game plan was, but as of right now I feel pretty collected. I feel like I got a game plan. I feel prepared to play, like, so in a way it's kind of relaxing where I'm not like going super crazy studying everything, but at the same time I'm still playing a lot and I just feel ready to sit down and compete, which is probably my favorite type of feeling going into a tournament where just I don't care what necessarily gets thrown at me. I'm just like here to play. So I feel good about it. And I think that something that's even more important is that it's not even just Gommel. Like I have a back-to-back tournaments again with Gommel and Momocon after that. So I think it's important to get into this type of mindset going into like a pretty busy couple weeks. Just go in business mode. I'm putting the tie on. You know what I'm saying? Like, just bringing the briefcase, just clocking in the work, throwing some bananas. Like, it is what it is.
Playing some GOAT format at MomoCon. True.
It will be happening. Also, thanks to all the viewers that DM'd us and gave us suggestions on what to do when we're in Atlanta. I actually love that. So if you guys could keep that up when we're all going to a city together, maybe we should do some Patreon content or something. We all go to the Coca-Cola Factory or some shit or the aquarium. Also, Lights Out wants to do content, so hit us up. Phil, you already know. We got to do something fun. The whole squad's going to be it. I cannot fucking wait for Momo, and I can't wait for Gommel this weekend. Gommel, too, I tweeted about it, but damn, the bracket is looking super good, too. Sonics, Cola, Riddles, Light, Siski, Leo, a lot of Japan, including Jagaboo is going to be there, who I like to watch, obviously. Neo, you got Onin coming through, Lima, you obviously, Gavin, DeBuzz hot off a tournament win. Like, it has so much potential to be a fucking all-time banger, I think is what I said. Like, it really does. Beast Mode Paul is, like, seeded to get, like, top 32 loser side, which is nuts because he's someone that can make top 8 winner side if he gets a good bracket or plays well that day or a little bit of both. So, you never know, dude. Jackal's going to be there. Cosmos has been playing well recently. Like, there's just a lot of fucking really, 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 really good potential as a viewer for this tournament. So I'm fucking excited is what I'll say about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many good players going there. A lot of NA talent, right? And then we got some Europe coming through, some Japan. I think a pretty good balance. So really excited to see. Yep. We'll see if Sonics can get the two-peat. I mean, I know Sonics has been struggling to close out tournaments, but he hasn't been struggling to get in that top two, right? So I think, like, it's a good problem to have. Is it a problem? Yes. Is it a good problem? Yes. So
it's definitely worse problems to have, that's for sure. And Shattuck, like I said before, great opportunity to see what the kid's made of, and I'm sure he's going to do well. That'd be my guess. I'm very excited to see what he does at Kamel this weekend. Really, really, really good opportunities for him. He's seeded into Kaninabe and Meister on winner's side, so we'll see what happens.
Kaninabe too, this tournament.
I'm telling you, this tournament is going for sure. Like, I'm very, very excited. A lot of great names in this bracket, so I don't know. Anything else y'all want to talk about? I'm just excited to watch Gavin play this weekend along with everyone else. My man Light also coming in hot after a tournament W, right?
I think
a lot of good players. Light and Tweak are going to be both at Gommel and Momo.
Nice.
I think
so. All right.
I think NA is also just in this mode where, like, we just want to catch up.
And finally!
I mean, it feels like more as of a collective. Like, over the last few months, I think we've been chatting with each other to try to, like, come up with a game plan just like as a collective. But
how do we defeat Game & Watch and Steve?
I feel like I'm like kind of like indirectly in that mode too, where I'm just practicing grinding. Like it's not like I feel like I'm doing it to catch up. But I guess it indirectly kind of lines up with everyone. I feel like everyone, like, it's not even about like beating each other necessarily, where it's more so like a lot of these NA players want to just all of us to improve collectively so we can just like keep up and stop getting embarrassed, you know?
Yeah, jokes aside, obviously, that's amazing to hear. I think though, like, that's what it takes, right? Like, you need to be, that was Japan and EU for a long time. How do we prove ourselves? Like, we only have so many opportunities a year. How do we make the best of them? How do we make it work? And now it's kind of flipped a little bit where it's like, dude, what do we got in the tank here, boys? What are we going to do? Who's going to come through? Who's in the group chat, Gavin? Who's, you don't have to leak it, just, you know, who you been talking to?
I mean, this mostly comes from, like, it feels like Cosmos is like practicing a lot and he wants to see NA specifically do well. I've been playing a lot with Cosmos and there was like another group chat that was made and I've seen them communicate with each other. I haven't really been as much of a part of it because I wasn't at a lot of the tournaments they were at, but, like, you know, there was like Zomba and Cola and Cosmos, like people like that. I think the cool thing about especially some of the younger players that are still up and coming in NA, they still want to see the rest of NA do well. Like, I think they have good heads on their shoulders. So
Void's been grinding with Cosmos as well, so that's always been cool to see that Void's kind of like streaming more. I don't know how, if Void will end up going to more tournaments and stuff, but at least like Void is down to help Team NA grind more, you know, so that's cool.
Void Rob. Bro, he got matched up by Ice Climbers one too many times. Rob, send Rob, it's time. Yes,
he be spamming Nair regrab gyro and he's like, if I hit it though, they're dead.
Best this gamer on the planet, right? This guy's a genius. Damn, I must be a genius.
Damn. Well, yeah, I guess that about wraps it up. We're going to get into the Patreon content. We actually have a really nice question to answer on the Patreon, along with we're going to be talking about just like the skill level of Ultimate players in general. So thank you so much for watching. Have a good one.